I'm taking care of servers Wednesday night, man. They praise the Lord. Amen. He said he preached a paint off the wall, I'm telling you. And I appreciate that. Thank you, Brother Dallas. He's gone, but somebody tell him, praise the Lord. Taking care of service. And I want to thank all the saints that came over to Claremore Friday night. I really, really appreciate that. You know, you folks hearing me all the time, then make a way over there. I think it's that. We had around 50, better than 50 of our folks there. And I appreciate y'all coming very much. I appreciate those praying for me. I just left out of here. I left out of here Tuesday. Take that kid and beat him. Praise the Lord. And amen. He had a good beating in a while. Beat him before you bring him. Praise the Lord. No, I'm funning with y'all. I'm funning with y'all. Amen. One of you boys give me a glass of water. Is it already poured? Well, good, good. Okay, thank you, son. I appreciate that. But we made made a fast trip to Mobile, Alabama. My dad's brother, his only sibling, had a heart attack. He's in the hospital there. And we thought he was doing a little better than what he was. So they called me Tuesday, letting me know how critical that he was. So I at least wanted to see him, at least before he passed. And got down there, drove Tuesday, got there about 1 in the morning, Wednesday morning, and was there with him all day Wednesday. He was out of it Wednesday. But Thursday, before I left, went up to see him, and he recognized me, knew who I was. He smiled, and so it made my trip worth it. And so drove all the way back Thursday, another 12 hours back, and preached Friday. I was going to go to service last night to be at Brother Harrington and them, but I tell you, I just could not muster the energy to go. I'm not 40 anymore, and I generally don't do that. I've never made a habit of going and preaching and leaving. I always aggravated me preachers that did that. Just felt like, you know, they was the star of the show. Come in for their little deal and preach and leave. I've not made a habit of doing that. But I couldn't help it. They understood. But here I am this morning. And we praise the Lord. Amen. And so you're back to beans and taters. So praise the Lord. Appreciate the preaching Brother Kreider done while he was here. He helped us. Such a blessing. I'm starting a series this morning. I don't hardly ever announce a series like this. Generally, it becomes a series on its own. So y'all in trouble, you know what I mean? But it generally, I start on something and don't get through and just keep on going. But I'm announcing a series. Well, I don't know how long I'm going to be on, but I'm going to be teaching on family, friends, and finance. Family, friends, and finance. I don't know how long I'll be talking about this. And I'm going to start on family this morning, on the concept of family, God's concept of family. Then we're going to deal on the roles. I won't deal on the roles this morning, but the role of the husband and the role of the wife and the role of the husband and wife as parents, children, so I don't know exactly how long it will be. And probably while I'm doing this series, I've not done it since I've been here. I've touched on it since I've been here, but I've not done a whole lesson. I will before this subject is through, I will be teaching on divorce and remarriage. The biblical view of divorce and remarriage. So I'm going to be dealing with the whole subject of family. We're going to start where it starts in Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20. Excuse me, verse 18. I'm sorry. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And all you men say amen.
Amen.
Y'all heard that, ladies. Y'all got a hearty amen with that. Amen. I will make... See, Brother Samuel said he agrees. I had a preacher friend. He's close to 80. And some young man went up to him and said, Elder, I want to ask you a question. He said, at what age is it to where you're not tempted, like with the opposite sex? He said... That's what the preacher said. That's what the preacher said. You'll have to ask somebody older than me. And he was 80. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So... Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them to Adam and to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called the living creature and the name thereof. And Adam gave the names to all of the cattle and the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helpmeet found for him. This does away completely with the concept of evolution. Completely. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her into the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of the man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Will you pray with me? Eternal God, we're so thankful for your goodness, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we pray you'll help us today, God. Touch my mind and my heart. Anoint me, use me, Lord. Speak words, or even today, God. Give your name the glory for it. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to read some more passages to show you how this is emphasized. Matthew 19. Jesus doing the talking. Matthew 19. And verse 5 and 6. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. Whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. Mark chapter 10. Verse 6. From the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father, his mother, shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What God had joined together, let not man put asunder. Then in the fifth chapter of Ephesians chapter 5. You know, when the Lord just keeps putting something repetitive like that, then it has to have a supreme meaning. Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, I'm going to talk to you today. About marriage is God's concept. That's God's concept. Marriage is not man's concept. It comes from God. God's the one that thought up of marriage. He even instituted marriage before he instituted the church. Because really the church is an extension of the home. Look what we've got here. They've got families. And those that are not families, I want them to be. How about Tyler? Boy, you better say amen. I won't be watching you during this class today. But here four times in this holy writ is man shall leave father and mother. And shall cleave to his wife. Hey, my brother Jason, you're doing good this morning. And they two shall be one flesh. Well, words mean things. And when you find words in Scripture, there's a big meaning to that. And the first word here is the word leave. Can everybody say leave?
Leave.
All you young men, say leave.
Leave.
All you young ladies, say leave. Boy, that's weak. The word leave literally means to forsake and abandon. Means to forsake and abandon. Before you cleave, you got to leave. That's teaching you that premarital sex is a sin. There is no cleaving until there's leaving. You got to leave in order to cleave. And First Corinthians 7:1. Just get me over there and get that while we're dealing with that. Take her out and beat her. No, I'm just teasing. You know, I'm having fun with y'all. I'm not sure. Y'all were watching. Can y'all tell I'm in an honorary mood this morning? Hey, gentlemen, listen to this passage. 1 Corinthians 7:1.
Now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman.
Now, what this is not saying, it's a sin for a man ever to touch a woman. That's not what this is saying. When God made Adam and then God formed Eve and brought Eve to Adam, it was God's program for there to be some touching. Because you can't do no multiplying and replenishing if there ain't some touching. Y'all understand that? Now, I'm not going to be giving no sex education classes. Amen. I was against it when they started it in school. The last person I'd want giving my child a sex education class is some teacher that's been married four times, or maybe a lesbian, or a homosexual, a whoremonger. You don't really need no sex education. Nobody taught Brother Tim's cows. There are some things that come natural. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Don't worry about teaching that. Folks will learn that on their own. And they won't take them, they won't have to get very old to do that learning. But here is a lesson. It is good for a man not to touch a woman. Yes.
Nevertheless.
To avoid fornication. That God's got a remedy for that problem. Now I'm going to tell you what marriage won't do. Listen to me, boys. Marriage will take care of your natural desire. Marriage will not take care of unbridled lust.
Amen.
If you feed your mind on lust,
that's
why pornography is such a horrible thing. It's an addiction, just like cocaine. And heroin. And you get hooked on that, you'll have a time getting unhooked. It'll mess your mind up. Well, praise the Lord. And I'm not going to get all into that. But here it said there had to be some leaving before there was any cleaving. Well, praise the Lord. I don't know whether to just fold them backwards. I don't know whether to pick on Tyler this morning or pick on Jason so much. Praise the Lord. Mariah's praying Jason. And Laura's praying Tyler. So I'm going to answer both of them's prayers. Tyler, I want you and Jason to come here. Praise the Lord. Don't y'all girls shout too hard, because y'all next. The passage says, I know that's not where you're at, but flip back over there. I don't care which one you get. Matthew, Mark, or Galatians, or Ephesians, don't matter. I want you to get the passage where man shall leave his father and mother and cleave. Yeah, I don't care which one you get. It don't matter. They all say the same thing. Whoever gets one of them, yeah. Matthew's in 19. Mark's in 10. Genesis is in 2. And Ephesians is in 5. Okay, what?
For this cause shall a man leave father and mother.
What this is saying is, there's going to be some cleaving going on. And folks that are getting married need to have the comprehension. You're beginning a new unit. This is not an extension of the old unit. You are beginning a new unit where you men will be in charge, hopefully. Jason's got his head down and he's grinning. Am I just going to waste this lesson this morning? But there, you know, there's things young men love to do and nothing wrong with it. You know, activities that young men love to do. Nothing wrong with it. These boys meet down here on a Monday night. play basketball. That's good. That's good. Monday night, guys get together, burn some energy off, react. We got sinners and backsliders come down there. I hope y'all act like saints. Hope y'all are a witness to those folks y'all playing ball with and not a hindrance. That's another subject for another time. That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. God's not going to take. It's hunting season. Do you guys hunt? Y'all like to hunt? You like to hunt? He ain't caring nothing about hunting. You like to hunt? Well, I'll help you then. Praise the Lord. I'll help Mariah there then. But guys like to hunt. Nothing wrong with hunting. Ain't y'all glad about that? Howbeit, the only two hunters in the Bible were wicked men. But y'all have to deal with that yourself. That was Nimrod and Esau. Praise the Lord. But I guess the rest of them hunted if they ate it, didn't they? Somebody had to hunt it if they went and got it. Had it to eat. So nothing wrong with hunting. Nothing wrong with fishing. Nothing wrong with four-wheeling, bicycle riding. All that stuff is good. Even if you had a motorcycle, you know. Amen. Get good life insurance if you got a motorcycle. Leave a lot to your wife and to your church because you won't be able to pay tithes either. So get a good policy if you're going to be motorcycle riding. But those are good. There's a lot of good wholesome things that young men do. And there's nothing wrong with them. But there's a word that you're going to find, and the word is going to be moderation. Are you back now? Where are you at? Okay, I want you back in 1 Corinthians 7. You're good still, huh? I didn't even look at that in this. So I'm just going to be fun in this. Hope y'all ain't in no hurry, but I'm not going to be. I'm going to stay in this till I get through with it. So, when you said, "Hi, Jason, take thee, Laura, to be my wedded wife, to have and to hold, to love, honor, and cherish. And to thee only do I cling until death do us part. I pledge thee my troth." That's my pledge. That meant you became her property. When Laura said, "I take thee, Jason, to be my wedded husband, to love, honor, cherish, and obey." Women almost go shaking when you get that "oh, my God." We might all do that when folks are seeking for the Holy Ghost. That'd at least get them in the stammering lips. Obey. Forsaking all others. As long as we both shall live. Then she belongs to you. The word, cleave, means to keep fast together. It means glue. To be glued. When you get married, your time out's over. When you get married, well, I'm just going to find my. That's over. A gluing takes place, to where each partner surrenders their will. Now that, playing that ball on Monday night It's good. It's good for you. That's what you like to do. If you don't like to do it, and whatever you like to do. Then your wife is smart to let you do that. You women are smart to let them do it. Let them run some of their energy out. But let me tell you, marriage is where each partner surrenders their will. I'm talking about having a good marriage. They surrender their will to play days over for men. You don't have a right to jump up and do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do. That's why you got married. You married to be home or be with your wife. Well, praise the Lord. Now, what y'all work out is very good. I don't get involved in all that. But some guys, they say I do. And they understood the physical part of the marriage. They physically needed to be married because they had physical needs in their body. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But marriage is more than taking care of that physical need in your body. Well, praise. There's a lot of stuff going to be going on. And you don't know that woman and you don't know that man. When you stood up there and doing all that saying and doing, you was entering into a new world. And you saw their best face when you were dating. And if you don't like the face you see when you're dating, don't get married. Because it ain't going to get better. Because you're just you. After a while, he said and done, you just settle into who you are. And then it's glue. There has to be some surrendering going on. Well, praise the Lord. Where Paul is you're in 1 Corinthians 7? Before we go down with verses that you're getting, let me get these verses. Let me get these verses here. I'm looking for something here. Oh yeah. Okay. In verse 32 and 33, 34. Yeah, of the same chapter. What does it say?
But I would have you without carefulness. Mm-hmm. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord.
Okay, now listen. Now Paul's going to make some strong stuff here. And he's saying, he that's unmarried cared for the things of the Lord, that he may please the Lord.
Right.
Old man can go pray anytime he gets ready to. He can go witness anytime he gets ready to. If he can get approved with his boss, he can run off to any camp meeting that he wants to. Any conference. He can sit up all night and read the book of John. And get up in the morning, pray all day. He has that freedom to do that. He that's unmarried has got the opportunity to give his all to the Lord. But what does it say?
He that is married careth for the things that are of the world.
Yes.
How he may please his wife.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, it's going to be hard for you men to say it. But can you say, please his wife? That's inspired. You know, of course, all that has a limit to it, you know. If she wants to go drinking, you're... Your first devotion is for God. You know, nobody has a right to step in between you and God. That's your husband, that's your wife, that's your mother, that's your father, that's your children, that's your pastor. Nobody has a right to step in between you and the Lord's relationship. That's you and Him. Nobody has that right. But other than that, this journey that Jason and Tyler's getting ready to take, when do y'all say y'all going to do that? October of next year. Think you're going to make it that long? Okay. Donnie's looking mean at you. That for the rest of your life, when you tell Mariah, I do. Paul says, you're to be trying to please your wife. Man, you know what? I think I'd do better playing piano in a Church of Christ convention than here today. Self-centered people really don't need to get married. That way they can live their life doing what they want to do. But if you want to have God's blessing on your home, you're going to have to do what God says to have it. And if you've got time for everybody but your wife, well, praise the Lord. You can get too busy doing good things and ignore your wife. Us preachers are bad about that. Preachers are some of the very worst. Pastors are some of the very worst people. You're called to take care of your saints. You're called to do that, you know. And if a preacher's not careful, then his wife gets stuck off in the corner somewhere. And then if he gets any time left over, then he gives it to her. You know, that's divorce is coming more prominent in the ministry. You'd be surprised at preachers' homes that it's like shootout at the OK Corral if he was there. Because, you know, you're at church, y'all folks love me and y'all appreciate me and y'all honor me. And, you know, Brother Epley and Brother Epley and Brother Epley and Brother Epley. You know, a guy can just get used to that. There ain't nobody. So I don't like nobody bragging on me, but you probably lie about other stuff. But when you get home, although I am my wife's pastor, I'm not her pastor first. I'm her husband first. And she can say things to me nobody else has got permission to say. She says that because she's my wife. You talk about a miracle. This woman lives with me all week long and comes to church on Sunday and has to believe she's hearing from the Lord. What a miracle. Yeah, see? But my job, when I said I'd do, man, why I feel, I know there's folks that don't believe in love at first sight, but have it your way. I believe it. I fell in love with my wife, and that was it. There was no alternative. Now she didn't, but I did. So don't be discouraged. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you just got to beat the other fellow out. Amen. That's what I did. I just beat him out. Glory to God. I had tenacity. He had a Roman eye and I had tenacity. Tenacity will beat a Roman eye. Praise the Lord. Amen. He was taller than me and nicer looking than me and had a full head of hair and a good singer and all that. And I was just what I am. Wasn't much of a deal, praise the Lord. But I fell in love and I wanted her. I mean, brother, was buying her gifts, and I was calling her on the phone. She wasn't appreciative of it, but I was doing it. I said to Wanda, am I telling the truth? I worried her and her mom and dad and everybody to death, praise the Lord. But I won. But I hate to tell you, there has been times in our marriage since we've been married that I've got so busy doing what I was doing. Really, truthfully, I've neglected my wife. Yes, I have. I've neglected her. I mean, we was trying to pastor the church and deal with people, preaching all over the country and doing this, that, and another. And she was very quiet about it. But we suffered over that. You got to make your marriage. Your marriage ain't going to be happy on its own. You have to make it happy. And this is part of it. It says a man ought to do what? Please his wife. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, if you get off work every evening and you're going off playing basketball, and you're going with the boys, or you're doing this, or you're out in the woods, or you're on the bank every evening, I'm going to tell you right now, you're not going to please your wife. She ain't going to be happy. Well, man, you men are dragging this morning. I tell you what. Hallelujah. Yeah. All right, brother. Hit the next one.
There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares for the things of the Lord. And she may be holy both in body and in spirit.
Yes. That's not the world in a bad sense. When it talks about love, not the world, it's not talking about your horse or your car or your house. That ain't what it's talking about. He lets you know lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Go ahead.
This I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast.
Well, I missed get the latter part of the last verse.
Mm-hmm. She that is married, caring for the things of the world, how she may please her husband.
I don't know why this is so much better on this than it is on the men, but listen what it says, ladies. Now you're going to like this. You wasn't shouting too much on the other, but hold down. Don't dance your shoe shells on. Bro. Be careful, Jason. Don't tear up the flower. Shout. Oh, this is good. This is good stuff here. But you're going to like this. The New English Bible said, her aim is to please her husband. Moffat said, how best to satisfy her husband. What a wow, isn't it? Huh? 20th century New Testament, desiring to please her husband. Brother, if you got a man that's doing everything he can do to please his wife, and a wife doing everything she can do to please her husband, you're going to have the next thing to heaven on earth. There ain't nothing better than a home full of love. Where each one is just doing all it can do to please each other. Now, I didn't say to spite each other. But it said to please each other. Y'all go and sit down, boys. I ain't going to get y'all girls up here. Ain't y'all glad? Now, you're back at chapter 7 where we left off at. All right. Go ahead. 7:3, I think he said. Oh, at 7:4 then.
Let the husband render unto his wife due benevolence.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise also the wife unto the husband.
I'm going to say this as delicately as I can. It's in your Bible. Okay? It's in your Bible. If this offends you, go outside and cuss God. Because He put it in your Bible. What this is saying, you never have a right to put your husband on the couch. And if you have a headache every night, you need prayer. If you don't want your husband or your wife looking at somebody else, you need to take care of business at home. Now, this is touchy, but this is just how it is. If you're cold and frigid at home, I want all you young couples to hear this. Amen. You middle-aged folks. Amen. Us senior folks, we're just holding in there. Praise God. Except Brother Samuel. Praise the Lord. He'll give you the recipe, what he's drinking after service. He'll be lying. He'll be lying up in there. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you what. When a man and wife uses a bedroom to punish each other, brother, you're asking for trouble.
Amen.
Now praise the Lord. And you young men, boy, thank God for good young men that work and make a living. I'm going to tell you what. When you get through working and making a living, doing all you can, and playing all your games and doing all that physical stuff that you do, you still need to save some energy for your wife. And you ladies, you ladies, it's home. I don't want to get on the ladies' road too far ahead of time, but you know, can I just sandwich this in? And I didn't beat the men mostly on this time. But you know who's going to set the attitude in the home? It ain't going to be that man. He ain't there. It's going to be that woman. You need to make your house a home. You need to make it where that man is trying to run everybody off the road to get home to you. Honking his horn. What you doing? I'm getting home to my wife. A man, when he drives up, you need to be there. You need to be out of your house coat, out of your hair curlers, have your teeth in, gargle with Listerine or Scope and have some smell good on. And run and grab and kiss him till his toes curls up. Amen. It'll make a long marriage. But if you was griping when he left, amen. Amen. It's just done. I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Praise the Lord. You know, sometimes ladies have to work. They have to do it. So I'm not criticizing. They just have to do it. But I'm going to tell you what, you ladies that are homemakers, you need to really be doing that. I mean, you need to be up when he's up, fixing him some lunch and some breakfast. That old gal down the convenience store that's giving him that coffee and donut, she may be smiling more than you are. And next thing you know, he's stopping back by there after work. Because you ain't getting no smile out of you. Well, praise the Lord. Men ought to please their wife. You ever tell Mariah she looks good? You do, though. Mariah, is your face red? Praise him. Secret to a happy marriage. You just keep on telling her she looks good. Now, she's not always going to look like she's looking right now. Especially after those 10 kids that I've been preaching folks to have. Get Donnie a whole... That way Donnie will be able to retire and just visit all of his grandkids 1 month at a time. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to always look like you're looking. If you don't believe it, look at all of us middle-aged folks. I know you're one of middle-aged. I plan on living to be 120, praise the Lord. I might be in deep ends, amen. Well, when I get there, amen. Amen. It's a good thing to compliment your wife.
That's right.
Tell you what, you know somebody will compliment her. You get some old sludge. You know, most women that run off with guys or guys that run off with women, I don't know if this has ever marveled you, they never get a better deal.
That's the truth. Amen.
That's right. I know a preacher at an unnamed place. In an unnamed city, that had an affair with a woman. And he had a beautiful wife. And this woman that he run off with, I don't want to be unkind, but she wasn't beautiful, can I? You see that? And everybody just said, why? Why would a guy... Man, I didn't preach Zimmerman plumb out the door. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, this is tough, I'm telling you. I might ought to stop while it's good. And you know, I'm going to tell you what happens is, that guy might be ugly. That woman may not be pretty. But she's complimenting your... She's giving your mate compliments that you're not giving. Don't even take you home for granted. So it said, likewise the wife unto their husband. Go ahead.
Wife hath not power over her own body.
Yes.
But the husband.
Yes.
And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body.
Yes.
But the wife.
Yes.
He brought you not one.
Now then, now Paul said, the only reason you've got not to be doing this is for if you give yourself for prayer and fasting, and said that you have to do by consent.
Amen.
Woman just can't decide, well, I'm going on a 21-day fast, bless the Lord. You can fix your own breakfast. Well, that ain't nothing. And said, but after you get through that, it had come together again. Lest Satan tempt you for your incontinency. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Keep honey in the honeymoon. Amen. Man, if you ever, you know, that girl likes flowers, likes you bringing her flowers. Well, I like all she's really listening to all this. Praise the Lord. Really concentrate. You're doing better than you did on that last lesson I taught. This must interest you. Praise the Lord. Are you turning red? Are you sick or something? But if your wife was saying, I've got the most romantic boyfriend. He gives me flowers. He gives me candy. He takes me to eat. Well, he made it back. Praise you. Hey, brother, my glory to God. I thought I'd preached you plumb out. Amen. And then you get married. You get married. You got her. and you don't get no flour, and you don't get no candy, and you don't get no card. Now, Joseph is in it, but they get the money. That won't work, Joseph. Tell you what. Listen, men. Listen up. You may joke about forgetting her anniversary or her birthday, but you will pay. I just think that ain't me. Well, you know, you fell out of that. Let me get you this. I remember I had this. Well, I got some more scripture I'm going to. Marriage is God. Well, I give you scripture. I mean, this is God's concept.
Yes, it is.
I hadn't seen this for years, and it hit my mind this morning. I looked around, and I found it. And this is something that comes from Zig Ziglar. And he wrote on the subject, not what I said. Number one, give your speaker undivided attention. When you make eye contact and focus on your mate, you're saying, you are important to me. Your words and ideas have meaning in my life. Well, there's been times I don't know about if I'm going to do real good on the next one, but I have flunked on the second one. Have you ever really wasn't listening to what your wife was saying? She's talking. Or what your husband's saying, they're talking. I'm going to tell you what. Let me just smack this while I'm at it. You men ought to have guts enough that around your table y'all get ready to eat. You need to tell your family, you leave them stupid phones off. I hate to see it. Man, you can go out to a restaurant and eat. You got five folks at a table now. Used to be there's another man or another woman stealing your mate. Now it's that stupid phone. Well, praise the Lord. Well, there won't be no fun when you got that phone you all by yourself. You can text all you want to. But it won't be near as much fun. Number two. Show your attentiveness with your body language. Set up. Lean forward when talking with your mate. If your manager or the president of the United States were to visit with you, that might be different. Your posture would be different as it is with your spouse. The most important person in your life is your companion. And if you're giving off the what? You know, number three, rephrase and restate key statements. If you will feedback what you think you are hearing in your own words, you will show an interest and you will increase in understanding. Use phrases like, so what I hear you saying is this, or do you mean to say? That made you to feel angry, happy, glad, or sad. On these occasions, either one of you is frustrated and has a tendency to unload impetuous impatience in a dogmatic way. It's a sign of maturity in the other person to quietly say, I understand why you're upset, sweetheart. That might be hard to say. Can I say this? You don't need to be the bull in the china closet. Your family don't need to see you coming in doors. Oh, no. Now, praise the Lord. Boy, this is a hard one for me. I'm not ganging up on you. I'm teaching this class to all of us. My wife, shout amen. Start shouting on this one. Let your mate finish the sentence. And he said, amen, baby. I listen fast, and I think I know what she's going to say before she says it, so I've done got it. All right, that's fine. You know, that's rude. You don't do that very long at work, you won't have a job. Tell you what, if you ever get down to the IRS office, you do that with them. And see how happy your life becomes. Or the policeman. Now here's your spouse that you're going to live with forever. Interrupting with your thoughts or finishing sentences for your spouse is a fast way to squash communication. Listen, pause, and listen. When you're planning on being married a lifetime, there's plenty of time for you to respond. Ooh, doggy. When you are in a conversation with your spouse, try to clear your mind of all your pet personal preferences and prejudices. Make an attempt to view the conversation in the clear light of day. Listen from your mate's frame of reference. What have they been through today? What is their emotional state? Listen with your ears and with your eyes. Let me tell you something else to put on top of that. You ought not go home and take out on your wife or your husband frustrations at your job or your house. That ain't fair. Boy, we got along, man. Express your feelings. Most folks don't have much problem with that. Express your feelings. One of the most important and easiest, most neglected components in effective communication involves a simple expressing of feelings. That's sad because in order for real intimacy to develop, partners must be able to express their emotions to one who listens. Now, this is my weakness. Now, my wife has no weakness with me. She's raising a family. They say what they think. You know, they may wish they hadn't, and I may wish they hadn't. But they say what they think. Our family's not that way. My family's not that way. My family will not say nothing. And they won't like you for 20 years. I mean, you won't hardly ever get me to tell you off, but I may not like you. And really, you're a little better off if you express your feelings and y'all get took care of. Then for your companion think it's all over because they spout it off. And you're mad for 10 years over. If you don't believe us that way, you wait till the next time y'all have a little round and junk comes up you done forgot all about. You remember when we had the discussion about how you roll that toothpaste up? If you think it's all over and done, all these folks have been married longer can tell you it ain't gone, it's still there. Old Zig Ziglar just paid big money to do this. I'm doing it for free, praise the Lord. Be careful. This is a good one. Be careful about supplying solutions. Particularly if the wife does not work outside the home, a man may make the fundamental mistake of thinking when he arrives home in the evening, his wife proceeds to dump part of her frustration of the day on him, and she wants him to play Solomon and give her the benefit of his incredible wisdom. For her, it has been one of those days she's been doing battle with an infant and rambunctious 3-year-old, and in his mind, she wants him to offer an immediate solution to the problem. In most instances, that's not the case. She understands what the majority of these situations, and there is no immediate solution. What she really wants is an attentive ear, a sympathetic listener, a caring husband, and some assurance that she's a good person and a good mother and a good wife. What does it say in Missouri, in Southwest Missouri language, and Kentucky language? She don't want you to say, "Well, you've been home all day. You ought to have done had it took care of." And I'll tell you something else. The guy walks in the door, his work. You know what? I'm glad to be pastoring a bunch of working men. You ought to be glad you ain't got no old lazy bum for a husband. I've tried to pastor lazy bums. A rich man could enter into heaven before a lazy bum would get on the first step. There ain't nothing worse than trying to make a home work when you got a guy that's too lazy to work.
Amen.
And lazy people are the smartest people in the world. They can start giving you all kind of excuses why it can't be done.
Amen.
They'll praise the Lord. Well, I don't want to get way out because I'm going to deal on this in our other lesson. But the Bible says a slothful man says there's a lion in the street. And you know what happened to him? The Bible said he'll beg at the harvest time. Well, if you got a man that gets up and goes to work and tries to provide for you, you ought to be saying, "Thank the Lord." Well, there's a lot of women that have men that they wouldn't work in a pie factory. I mean, they're so lazy. They're so lazy. Praise the Lord. If you got a man that's getting up and going to work, you ought to be happy to be providing him something to eat. Amen. If you got a good wife and she's taking care of your children, you ought to let her know you appreciate it. See, this works together. And let me move on down here. Remember, listening is loving. A wise man once said that talking is sharing, but listening is caring. You know, boy, I'm going to run out of time. When I married my wife, I married my best friend. My wife is my best friend. My best friend. I'd rather be with her than be with anybody. I would. I'd rather be with her than be with anybody. You know. When I first come here, one thing I really appreciated that you folks did. I don't know who started it, but it was a very good idea. And I this is the first time I've said anything about it. So if you're not doing it, I'm going to try to renew it. Then what I appreciated was. The folks in this church had date nights. Most couples had date nights where they found somebody to take care of the kids and they took their wife out to eat. That's a good idea. You're not that busy. So we don't have the money. Well, go buy a dollar cheeseburger at McDonald's and share a milkshake. And look Google-eyed at each other. But you need some time. No, don't you love your children? But you need some time away from your children, just you and your husband. You need that. That's not every day. I know some folks, I pastored one couple, that everywhere they went, they never took their kids nowhere. They went on vacation, left their kids. Well, that ain't no good. That's no good. I mean, leave your kids feeling like they're burdens. Your children are not burdens. They're the inheritance of the Lord. You got them here. But all your life don't need to be about your kids. Let me tell you parents something. You go ahead. And you side with that child against your spouse. Go ahead and do that. You know what's going to happen? Y'all get old. And you're going to be sitting across the table looking at each other and hate each other's guts.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
If you don't agree how your spouse is correcting your child, you need to wait till they're not there. And then say, you know, honey, you know, really, you was out of hand. You was out of hand. That ain't just a man thing. Some women are mean as can be. That's the God's truth. And you know, it's up to you. You men don't need to be afraid of your wives either. You need to tell them, said, honey, look, I know you're under a lot of pressure and you're doing a good job, but you know, you're out of hand. See what God comes focusing on your house. Hey, fellas, God comes focusing on your house. He don't put his finger right on your nose.
That's right.
I'm ahead, but we'll see. And generally, in correction, it generally falls on one of the parents. That's just generally how it is. Most parents have everything. You got one that cracks a whip. You got the other that makes the cake. But you need to stick together. There needs to be a united front. Don't let that child run to you after the other companion has corrected them. Let him get sympathy out of you. And while I'm dealing with this, women's generally the worst. You women that hide things from your husband that your kids have done, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's wrong. Because when he finds out about it, and he will, you undermine his confidence as he has in you. Well, I know I'm not talking about the seven heads and ten horns this morning. I'm trying to cut off some horns this morning. Oh, nothing makes good church like good marriage. It's not, you hear me, saints of God, it's not God's will for you to be fighting and feuding. Fussing. You spend some time in prayer. There's a problem. You spend some time in prayer. Y'all need to try to talk it out. And if you can't talk it out, you need to come to the pastor and let him out try to talk it out with you. There's no marriage that's so bad. You got too much invested. You got children. You got years. You got. It can be fixed. You can fix it.
That's right.
It's not unfixable. It can be fixed.
That's right.
But it's going to take two people to fix it.
Uh-huh.
One companion cannot fix a marriage. It takes two to fix it.
That's right.
There has to be willingness to fix it.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to do better on my part. I'm going to do better. Everybody's going to have words. I only met one couple that I really believed it. They said they never fussed. I don't believe they lied. They said they didn't. I'm believing that they didn't. I think they just had some strong disagreements or something. I don't know what they call it. Amen. But when you get two people, you're going to have the clashing of two wills. That's just how it is. But if I can get both of y'all to get this concept in your mind, I want to please my wife. I want to please my husband. He'll take some of the sting out of that. Well, glory to God. Oh, no, God. But I won that round. I used to have an Uncle Virgil and Aunt Lena. I loved riding to church with them. You didn't need a television riding to church with that. Uncle Virgil in Atlanta. They fought all the way. They fought the whole way. And it got so bad they wouldn't even ride in the same car. And what was funny was Uncle Virgil's truck broke down. So they just happened to go to church and ride in Aunt Lena's car. Well, Uncle Virgil was determined he was going to drive, but Aunt Lena said, "This is my car. You drive your truck, I drive this car." I'm driving. And man, they was riding to church. Oh, it was a circus. Aunt Lena, she couldn't half see. And Virgil was screaming the whole time. Hey, break, hey, hey. I mean, it's the whole way there. I mean, me and my cousin, we got down the back seat laughing. I mean, it was hilarious to us kids. So we got to church and they had testimony service. Aunt Lena, most honest I ever heard her do, she said, she testified, she said, well, I might not have the victory, but I had my way anyhow. I feel like there are a few Aunt Lenas around here, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, you may have your way anyhow, but it ain't worth taking the peace out of your marriage. Peace in your home all means, huh?
Come on,
Lord. Amen. Boy, I hate it when there's conflict in the home.
Amen.
I'm gonna tell you what, there's something about conflict you can literally feel.
Amen.
Have you ever walked in a room and you didn't know nothing? And when you walked in there, it was so thick. You couldn't even cut it with a knife. You didn't have to know who said what. You said, excuse me. I just forgot an errand I need to run. Amen. Well, I didn't get to all this, but we're going to be here for a while. We're going to talk about the role of the husband, role of the wife, role of the parents, role of the children. Going to be talking to you about the number one problem. Can anybody name me the number one problem in marriage? Anybody? The number one problem in marriage? Money. If you don't think money's the number one problem, you ain't too smart. Most arguments you're going to have is not going to be over a flirty man. Or flirty woman is going to be over money. And we're going to deal on that. About your money and her money and our money and their money. Bible's got a lot to say about money. Man, if you were starting your Bible, writing down every direct or indirect passage has to do with money. I am told, I haven't done the count myself, but I am told that 1/5 of the Bible has something to say about money or working for it or what you're going to do with it. Now, I ain't counted that myself. I just read that somewhere. What are you working for? You're working for money. You're working for money. Praise the Lord. You glad your husband's working? You know why you're glad he's working? Money. I mean, you let him go a week and work, be gone all day out there running that record, I bring no money home, you ain't going to be happy. You're going to be wondering, what are you doing with that money? That's right. That's money. Do you boys like money? Huh? Do y'all have enough of it? You girls like money? You have all the money you want? Could you use some more? Well, praise the Lord. Amen. So money, that's why God's got a lot to say about money. Money's going to cause some people to be lost.
All right. Amen.
Some folks forsake God for money. Some folks steal God's money.
Amen.
Some folks don't manage their money.
Amen.
And God's got a lot to say about all that right here in the Bible. We're going to be teaching about it. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. I don't know how much you're going to enjoy this, but I just felt like plowing into this. We're going to plow into this for a while. I'm just trying to help you home.
Amen.
Help you home. If you don't need any of this, then you pray for the rest of us that need this. Brother, we're living, the divorce rate is nearly up to the marriage rate. That's on the first marriage. I mean, it's nearly 50-50. Folks divorcing as his marriage. And on the second marriage, it's 60-some percent on divorce. And rather than spending a lot of time preaching on divorce and remarriage, let's preach about how to make a home work. Because if you got a happy home, if you and the woman's both happy, we don't ever have to worry about divorce. And there ain't no concern about remarriage. I'm going to tell you now, I know one party can do all they can and still can't make it work. I understand that. I believe there are people that have done everything they can, and they're just married to somebody that's determined not to make it work. Well, you just got to do the best you can, but you can't, you know. But I'm going to try to work on this. I'm going to dig around this and work around this and plow. I'm going to bust up all the lumps. I want to have good, healthy, happy home. I'm going to tell you what. I'm not just teaching this for these young folks. There are probably some of you old codgers that's fussing and fighting around the house that ought to already learn better. Well, praise the Lord. So this ain't just a lesson for Jason and Laura. Amen. Ron Peggy can use this. And Steve and Cheryl. Amen. We build strong homes.
Right.
Your children should never be wanting to run off from home, to get away from home because of the fighting that's going on. That's bad.